Welcome to the Full Press Packers Pod, part of Full Press Coverage. My name is Kyle Senra. Joining me is Jesse Hall. How are you doing, Jesse?
Packer win. I'm doing pretty dang good.
Yeah, Packer win. Here we are, December 6th, week 13, and the Packers beat the Eagles 32-16. So any just quick takeaways right off the bat that you want to get say right away?
I guess all the numbers really don't tell the tale from the score to, like, when you look at the yardage and how he held them, like, it got ugly at times, but maybe it wasn't as ugly as it seemed. I don't know. It was a weird game. It's a good win. Whenever you win by more than almost two scores, I can't complain about much.
Yeah, 14-point win. I mean, the deficit was almost as big as what the Eagles actually mustered to manage to score. I would say, I mean, so right off the bat, you start with the Eagles, who basically controlled the clock for the entire first quarter. And I thought it was a really good sign that, A, the defense didn't seem that, like, they were tired at the end of either of those long drives, both of which, I think, what, they totaled close to 12 minutes on those two drives, I think. And, you know, to get, you know, two long drives like that and only 3 points out of it, I thought was fantastic by the defense to really hold and maintain. And, you know, you could say bend, don't break, and it, you know, bend a bit. But again, even the field goal Jake Elliott kicked was a 52-yarder. So it's not like the Eagles penetrated deep into Packers territory. So, I mean, kudos to the defense to really start off. I mean, the offense, 3 and out to start the game. I think ended up with 3 3-and-outs throughout the game. You know, it's starting to get a little too common, actually. And that shouldn't be something that we see in an Aaron Rodgers offense that many per game, I don't think. Especially with how well the offensive line plays, the complement of weapons, how great Adams is. I mean, there's probably at the very least 4 All-Pro players on offense between Rodgers, Adams, Bakhtiari, and Jenkins, right? So, like, they shouldn't be going 3 and out as often as they do. It's my one concern there with them.
Well, and I get it. 3 and outs happen, but it always seems like it's at the worst damn times, right? Like, I get it. Like, okay, something stalls, but it's like the other team gets a little bit of momentum. The offense goes 3 and out. It's like, why did this happen when we were rolling, you know, 3 straight scoring drives? You could have maybe snuck one in there and it wouldn't have looked, which 3 and out always looks bad. Don't get me wrong, but it's like the most inopportune times. And it's like, here we go again. Like, we go 3 and out, we do something stupid, and then special teams, you know, just goes belly up. It just seems the timing is just really bad. But at the same time, like what you're kind of saying, you know, like the defense, they had one red zone trip and it went in the fourth quarter. So, like you said, you know, Eagles try to play, you know, time of possession, but at the same time, long drives. But the defense buckled down, made plays, got pressure, you know, got after the quarterback, and they only got in the red zone one time. One time. That's pretty bad.
And while the Eagles certainly ran the ball a lot, they weren't overly effective doing it. I mean, there were no long runs. The longest run I could remember was a Boston Scott run that was called back on a holding play. I think I think Luke Patrick ended up being held on that one. And so, great job of not giving up the big run. I think Miles Sanders, his best play of the game might have been on a reception, which again, we spoke about. But I mean, for the most part, the run game, while it was, they were getting enough to get first downs, they weren't getting big runs. So it really forced the Eagles just to travel 50, 60 yards to take up that much time. And again, still only get a 52-yard field goal out of it. Like, that, you know, definitely the offense struggled. And I mean, went into halftime with only 3 points. And while the Packers offense struggled with that initial 3 and out, I mean, right after that, touchdown, and then a field goal. So, you know, certainly in the second quarter, getting those 2 touchdown drives and then, you know, long drives throughout the game. Like, it seemed like there were so few offensive possessions because there were so many, whether it was on the Eagles side or the Packers, just these 7-minute drives. And, you know, for the Packers, they made the most of them, getting 2 touchdowns in the second quarter off these long drives. Speaking of touchdowns, Aaron Rodgers throws his 400th career touchdown pass to Davante Adams after throwing his 200th career touchdown pass to Davante Adams a few years ago. So kind of fitting, actually, and it made sense. And both were as on point as they always are. It's really quite phenomenal. And it's it's strange how many teams are daring the Packers to do it by leaving Adams one-on-one. You figure by now teams would be like watching the film on this and saying, this is a bad idea, but so few teams, it seems like they're almost stubbornly trusting their corners. And I don't know if there's a corner out there that can stop Davante Adams.
That, and what else are you going to do? Like this offense, yeah, they scored 30. They could have easily scored 42 or 49. Like, you know, MVS showed up with a bad drop, which you got to catch that ball. You know, you look at a few other ones on the sidelines where it's like a EQ, it hit him. Like that was a perfectly thrown ball where only he can get to it. And it was third down, couldn't make the play. Like, I think it's to the point where it's like, okay, Devontae's going to get his. How much do you let him get his? And these other guys are still getting opportunities. They just got to finish. Like, it seems like every time Tonyan's wide open, right? Like, they don't even cover our tight end anymore. Like, he's behind the defense on every one of his touchdowns. It's really weird how it works. I thought we couldn't run, and, you know, take away that long run late. With Jones, we actually, I'll say first off, Philly's D-line is phenomenal. That D-line is a bunch of mean SOBs. They are really good. I said that last week. I thought they're the best we're going to play against, and they were. They kicked our butt early. As good as our offensive line is, they held their own. But we stuck with it. You know, we tried to spread them out a little bit. We tried to open it up, and then slowly but surely, we started getting ours. I think really with Jamal Williams, he was the one that kind of like started breaking that line loose a little bit because he, you know, had a nice little run, then he opened it up a little bit and it kind of like softened it. But I tip my hat to that D line. They're so good. And I tip the hat to our offensive line for, you know, especially with Lucas Patrick being out, you know, we got the job done. So what a team effort up front.
Yeah, I think I mentioned Patrick's name earlier. That was a mistake there. But yeah, Corey Linsley out. As much as Rodgers took a sack on that opening drive, I mean, and it, you know, to magnify that, that three and out looked pretty brutal. I mean, you had the 6 yard loss by Jones on the thumb on the mishandled toss back, which I mean could have been a lot worse considering. But and then the sack the next play. But after that, they kind of kept it in gear, and I thought especially in pass protection kept Rodgers. I wouldn't say clean, because there's a lot of times Rodgers was forced to scramble, but they gave him enough time to be able to get out of the pocket and make plays. And I think that's about as best as you could do against this defensive line. Tough to get things going in the run game. They did eventually get some good seams. I think especially of the, you know, the Aaron Jones long touchdown in the fourth quarter for 77 yards. I believe they set a career high for Jones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
On that play, David Bakhtiari comes off, seals the edge, and then manages to get downfield and does enough to kind of help out Jones at the very end. He probably was still going to score anyway, but it was amazing to see Bach just make the play at the point of attack. And I believe he gets two guys, you know, he manages to make his block and then a defensive back. He kind of blocks his man into the defensive back, takes two guys at the point of attack, allows Jones to get free. And then he's still down there at the end, right at the goal line, helping out as best he could. So it was incredible to watch. Great play by the offensive line. And I thought, played really well. Wagner made some really good plays. There was a few times where he looked almost Bulaga-like. Sometimes you see that where Rodgers gets really close to that right side on scrambles, and you know, you count on the right tackle to kind of just stand in the same spot and use him as kind of a pivot, and he was able to do that a couple times, I noticed. So it was good on Wagner. I know we haven't seen a whole lot of him, but it does seem like the game plan was, you know, kind of forced its way to have Wagner start this week, so... yeah, so again, kudos to the offensive line there for sure.
Yeah, I want to hit on that too, where, you know, you got Baku, they paid him all this money and all that, you know, don't ever doubt that guy's effort, because as slow developing as that run was, going down the sideline, weaving in and out, when you saw a lineman down there, that is awesome. That was a sealer that won the game. You know what I mean? Like, when things were going bad and it could have kept tumbling, being that snowball going downhill, which we've seen way too many times, you saw them seal the deal. Like, and you saw, when you saw a lineman like that downfield, that was, like you said, it was awesome. It was so cool to see that. It was, that's what wins championships right there. Not saying we're there yet, but those are the little things that get done. And that was awesome to me.
Yeah, for sure. You want to be able to win with your run game when you need to at the end. I did say that it was going to be one of those things where even at halftime, you know, when they were up by 2 scores, I still expected them to pass a lot, just knowing that's how you best exploit the Eagles' defense and trust Rodgers to be able to do that in a secure and safe way. He's not going to turn it over. Again, another clean sheet in that regard for Aaron Rodgers. So it was good to see on that. I guess before we get to the defense, do want to talk special teams, because it's funny. I mean, defense, they allowed 10 points in this game. The opening drive field goal, which again was a 52-yarder, so really made them work for it there. And then the touchdown late to Greg Ward, but the other points scored by a punt return touchdown. Jalen Reagor, so first off, good move by the Eagles to put out your player in a regard like that, just to get them on the field, right? Get them to touch the ball in their hands, and that certainly worked. Because I know there was a few misses. Obviously, J.K. Scott, clearly, that's twice now we've seen him not be able to take down a receiver along the sideline. So clearly, J.K. Scott needs to work on that. I thought otherwise, you know, punted pretty well. Even on the play, I mean, Reagor kind of fumbled the punt a little. And who was it that came off and kind of, you know, could have helped contain if he stayed up and instead tried to dive at Reagor, make the big play, and then Reagor just left him in the dust and then took off, and then no one really could catch him after that. I'm trying to look up. I think I have it down as 54, so it looks like it was Kamal Martin.
It could have been. Like you said, you know, he fumbled the punt, and the second he did that, I'm like, oh my God, everybody's leaving their lanes. It's just, it's a cancer with the Packers year after year after year. There's just these breakdowns on special teams. And let's go all around. Like Mason Crosby, he hasn't missed a field goal this year, but now it's what, two, maybe three games in a row, he can't hit an extra point. Like, why the heck are we, why are we having these problems all of a sudden, you know? Special teams needs to clean it up. It's not good. But on the defense, like you're saying, so it's 10 points this week they really gave up. And really against the Bears before was way out of control. It was also about 10 points. So the D is doing really good, doing their job now. Fourth in, I don't know what is it with these fourth and longs that they, you know, kind of crapped the bed because that was disgusting. But outside of that, it's been really kind of nice to see.
And so, I mean, to talk about the defense, really, I mean, again, it all starts up middle. Kenny Clark, initially, I mean, you look at the Eagles' opening drive, he really struggled. That there's that third and one. Carson Wentz easily snuck through there. And I mean, Jason Kelce just pushed Kenny Clark back 3 or 4 yards, and only one was needed. But I thought Clark, after that, settled down really well, forced some double teams more, came off and made some plays, and I thought just had a better impact game, was more consistent outside of maybe that opening drive. Although he did notice they started to kind of, you know, maybe limit the snaps a little more. Maybe that is the key with him, is to not play him, because there was a drive where he came in only on third down, took a penalty, and then took him off the field again. And in those plays, they defended really well with Kingsley Keke as the nose, or as one of the defensive tackles, and then also Dean Lowry, of course. So, you know, those players stepped up when needed, and I thought kind of a good team effort all around. Not Clark's most impactful game, but I felt he held his own better against Kelce than he did last year.
Yeah, by far. So I liked what they did actually with Clark. So, you know, struggle for some reason, which Kelce's a beast, don't get me wrong, but for some reason, that's just like the kryptonite for Clark. So they started using him, they moved him to 5-tech, moved him around a little bit, and then let Keke work in the middle. And I was talking to my friend, and I'm like, you know, this front would be so good as an even front, because I think like with Keke, I mean, Keke had 2 sacks. And I think he had like 2 tackles for a loss too. He did 2 tackles for a loss, or 1 tackle for a loss and 2 sacks. And it just seems like he is that 3-tech kind of slasher guy that's going to raise hell, but he doesn't need to be out there every snap. And then Dean Lowry, I think, had his best game of the year, because Dean Lowry has been on the ground a lot and he held the point of attack this week. I think their whole focus point was to take Kenny Clark out, right? Anytime that they could get just Kelce on Clark, they would, or they would have to somehow double or Chip or something with Kenny Clark, and all the other guys stepped up. So the middle of the defense, I really tip my hat because they did really good.
Actually, I think the Eagles coaching and the play calling was actually pretty good. I really like the play calling for the Packers on both offense and defense. I think I don't know if you think it was a better play call, a defensive play call for Mike Pettine. I thought there was some good timing on blitzes and maybe coming up and press a little more, especially with Alexander.
Yeah, finally, right? It looked like he played a little more aggressive, where he sent some more guys. You know, they challenged guys a little bit. Basically, everything up to like, you know, midway through the fourth quarter, where it just went to that soft zone again. It was a well thought out game plan. Like, he sent pressure, he moved guys around. Rashawn Gary was a man among boys this week. Like, oh my God, like that guy was in the backfield. If he didn't get to the quarterback, he pushed the pocket. Like, he looked awesome. I want to keep seeing that. And even Preston, outside of Preston, got sucked in that one time on that jet sweep. But he played okay, you know. But we have three guys that are getting pressure, right? And then you play, you know, let Jair man up on guys and, you know, shut them down and, you know, play close to the line of scrimmage with other players. It was a really well-thought game plan.
He didn't even mention Za'Darius Smith, but you never really need to because you know he always plays at the park. Questionable entering the game, and he didn't look it at all. Like, he seemed like he was a beast as always. And it's funny, I remember Preston Smith, one play, they actually double-teamed him. You know, another play where they trusted Kelsey one-on-one, and then so they were able to get that guard on Preston's side, and he still managed to get off the block, and I don't know if that was a sack, but he and Gary kind of chased, I don't even remember who was quarterback either, which is, I guess, the real thing here, because one thing I was going to say was play calling seemed decent for the Eagles. I remember a couple times where they were running, would run away from Clark if they left him one-on-one as well, so smart to kind of do that, and not basically take him out of the play in that regard, running that outside zone towards the opposite direction. And, you know, the receivers are put in some good situations. I thought one play in particular, I believe it was Greg Ward, got one-on-one against Christian Kirksey, and Kirksey made a heck of a play. Maybe borderline pass interference if he got there a little early, but I thought he timed it pretty well and really broke up that play. And, you know, surprising to see, again, a middle linebacker keep up with the receiver that far downfield. And so the play calls were set up really nicely by the Eagles, and yet there were plays where Carson Wentz was missing. I mean, he made some good throws. I mean, that particular play where Kirksey defended, I thought that was a perfect throw by Wentz and couldn't get the good result out of it. And then some other plays where receivers, you know, sort of open, close enough to be an open NFL type open, about as much as you're going to get. And Wentz just not hitting players.
No, I agree. Yeah, I was going with Kirksey on that play. It's like, wow, that guy did so good in coverage, you know, running downfield with the receiver. But then at times, too, against the run or playing, you know, at the line of scrimmage, I'm like, dang, I want to see Barnes and Martin out there. Like, they just attack the line of scrimmage and they take angles so much better. But then, yeah, that was a great play. You know, it's so hit and miss where it's like, okay, Kirksey plays good for a few plays, and then there's a few where it's like, oh my God, like, you see these young guys do it different. But yeah, Eagles, I think for what they had on offense, I think they schemed it great. You know, then when they take Wentz out and they go a different route and they totally kind of change what they're doing, and the play calling was good, right? So they, as a coaching standpoint, I think, you know, Peterson did really good, and the Packers really kind of matched it just as well. So the better team wins then, right? And it kind of showed, you know, a 14-point win kind of showed where these teams are kind of at.
And then what ended up happening, Carson Wentz, again, you know, maybe missing some of those throws, but they're down 14-3 at halftime, and Jalen Hurts starts the second half. And he ended up playing the entire second half, and, you know, seen him play again sometimes before in the season, but never entire drives or entire sequences, but they ended up happening. And Jalen Hurts did score the touchdown. The only offensive touchdown of the game for the Eagles. It was actually one of the few times, maybe we can question the scheme with Mike Pettine, Jair Alexander in deep coverage in zone, and Greg Ward gets by him and scores the touchdown from Hurts instead of, you know, Alexander going up and pressing him. But otherwise, remarkable game by Alexander as always. So I guess, Jesse, first off, what did you think of Carson Wentz getting benched?
Well, I think he needed to. I'm looking at it right now. He was 6 for 15, 79 yards, but he looks shell-shocked. And I think we talked about that, like, when they were saying he's been sacked every game this year three times or more. That guy is like David Carr reincarnation. He's just been getting hit where he'll step back and he'll get his first read. And if it's not there, you just see him get happy feet. And I hate it for the guy because I think he's got all the talent. But just getting hit constantly and not trusting your line, it showed. It really showed. And it was time for it. Why not, right? You know, they went down. The offense is stalling. Why not bring in your guy that can move a little bit? You can try different things. Now, Hurts wasn't great numbers-wise. He was 5 for 12, but 109, he got the touchdown. You know, it kind of changed it. And he could run a little bit, right? So what the hell do they have to lose, right? And I get it. Like, it was a desperation game. That, you know, with the Giants who ended up beating Seattle, they're fighting for their playoff lives, right? So they tried something new. I don't know where you go from here with Wentz because I don't see it getting better. But I don't know. Maybe they can build around Hurts and kind of develop him. It'll be interesting for sure.
I think suddenly Doug Peterson, very difficult decision is who's going to be the starting quarterback this week. Because as you mentioned, they're still in the playoff race. You can't quite just pack it in for next year yet. But it is kind of funny. The two teams that drafted quarterbacks a little earlier, surprisingly, than most expected. You know, Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts, people were wondering where those guys were going to go after the big three went in the top six. But Packers and Eagles, and I mean for the Packers, I mean Jordan Love hasn't even got to the backup job yet. I mean it's still Tim Boyle, whereas now Jalen Hurts, week 13 of his rookie season, and this isn't the first time he's played. I mean he's been out there, they've given him plays here, but never an entire series. And that's what I thought. Okay, are they just given a different look to start the second half? But no, the whole second half he played. So it that does kind of seem. I don't know. I have no idea what the Eagles are going to do this week.
Yeah, it's we're done with them, so now it'll be fun just kind of watch, you know. But yeah, so the kid missed a few bad passes, but at the same time, I think he showed like some good poise, and you know, he showed some leadership skills out there. So I don't want to say I'm really like rooting for him, you know. I'll pull for him because he's not playing the Packers, but I think they might have a diamond in the rough. I don't know. I think there's some talent there, so it'll be interesting what they do.
I will say, I thought the Packers played the transition brilliantly. I mean, you're not necessarily expecting that. I thought everyone spied him really well, whether it was Christian Kirksey or Adrian Amos. I guess maybe cognizant on Mike Pettine always make sure he had a spy, but it seems like, you know, they didn't let Jalen Hurts on the ground break off big plays. I mean, he did it with his arms, and again, impressed that way. But I thought magnificent by the defense to really make that transition from different quarterbacks. Although, you know, Wentz is going to scramble. You kind of have to be aware of that, but not quite to Hurts' speed and athleticism. So it was another level, and they handled the task, I thought, brilliantly. More credit to Christian Kirksey, who maybe put together maybe arguably a better second half, again, especially against Hurts, more so than in the first half, where he did, you know, struggle at times, and the run seemed to be going a bit better for the Eagles.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, it's another game where we had held a team under 300 yards. You know, in this day and age in the NFL, I don't care who you are. You hold teams under 300 yards and under 20 points. I know Packer fans like to get on like, oh, our run D sucks and all that. Yeah, they had 117. A lot of them were a little bit of garbage or, you know, a big play here or whatever. But again, under 300 yards and under 20 points. That's a Packers win because we see this offense is obviously averaging 30 points every single week. Doesn't matter who we're playing. So pretty good recipe to win.
I will say the one good thing, though, no runner got more than Miles Sanders, 31 yards. And longest run was Jalen Hurts, a 13-yard run. Right. So that was, and that again, that's probably the biggest threat again with the Packers is those running quarterbacks. So while that was more just through volume, really, I mean, 4.7 yards a carry, the Packers were technically more efficient. Again, a lot of that from that big run by Jones, although Williams 5.2 for himself. Not bad, but yeah, I think, just through the sheer volume run, I mean, they ran it 25 times. Both teams ran it 25 times. The Eagles barely threw that much. And I mean, you know, holding them to 161 passing yards, again, two different quarterbacks, those adjustments, mass credit to the defense. And so Jesse, time of the episode, talk about Packers player of the game, do that in wins. And again, try not to double up, because I mean, you could look at either Rodgers or Adams, but I mean, I used those up in the first month of the season. Maybe I shouldn't have tried to save them, but I'm having a real hard time this week. And part of me thinks because of how well the defense played, it should go to the defense, but to identify a player on defense that it should go to is difficult, because if I think about the offense, I have one player in mind in particular. Again, obviously, Rodgers, Adams, and Jenkins have all had their turns, so you eliminate them. It maybe makes it a bit more obvious, but I'm curious to what you think. Who would you nominate as Packers player of the game this week?
So I'm going defense just because, like you said, you know, we have already done offense. Awesome. Aaron Rodgers, you know, 400 touchdowns. I shouldn't blow that off because only 7 guys have done it, and he's done it in the least amount of games. I'm going Rashawn Gary, man. That dude was playing with his hair on fire. He only had 2 tackles, 2 assists, sack and a half, a tackle for a loss, but he had the most pressures. Like, Z had a good game, and Kiki had 2 sacks to his 1.5. But Gary was in the backfield all day long. His best game for me by far, and he keeps getting better. So I'm going Rashawn Gary. Tip my hat. Awesome game, buddy.
It's funny because I was actually thinking at first, just because, again, the nature of having to switch over the defense halfway through in terms of maybe adjust to a different quarterback, though, again, maybe not so different after all. I was actually initially thinking Christian Kirksey. I thought, again, coming up with that huge third down play on the one drive where they were forced to punt and coverage in Greg Ward. But to your point, Jesse, talking about the snap-to-snap inconsistencies, and certainly that was not there for Gary. He was very consistent, snap in, snap out. So while, again, I was maybe leaning Christian Kirksey, and I was thinking, you know, you could maybe give it to David Bakhtiari. It's similar to Elton Jenkins, right? He does so well, you can almost give it to him every week. I was maybe thinking, because of how key he was on that game-sealing 77-yard touchdown, maybe to give it to him, but I think you're right. I think this one should go to Rashawn Gary. I'll flip over to your side, Jesse, and trust you on this one. So Rashawn Gary, Packers player of the game here, week 13, again, in this 30-16 victory over the Eagles. As we approach the final stretch here in December, you can follow us on Twitter at @FPC_Packers. Jesse's at Hall_JHall1212. I'm at Senra Says. As always, download the Full Press Coverage app. Get all of our written content. Our podcast, the Full Press Radio Network, access to all that through the Full Press Coverage app. Download it for free, of course, on Android and iOS stores. So check out the Full Press Coverage app. Jesse, any final thoughts, any final topics you wanted to cover before we leave?
Division game going into next week, right? We got the Lions. So, the best thing I think was we're relatively healthy. So go Pack, go.
Yeah, I did know Raven Green maybe left an injury. Obviously, we have Corey Lindsley, who's now been placed on injured reserve. So we'll see how long the Elton Jenkins at center last. Again, no panic wherever Elton Jenkins playing. You know, we love to praise him here. We love our offensive linemen here on the Full Press Packers Pod.